Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting today on Monday, March 7th, 2022. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded. As usual, the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. Just to share a few helpful tips for people joining via phone calls, you can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing *9. Everyone joining through the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you go under reactions and click on the raise hand icon, that will raise and lower your virtual hands. That indicates us that you intend to speak. We can have one speaker at a time. As you know, that we do have ASL interpreters with us on this meeting. I would appreciate if you could state your name first when speaking. This helps them doing their job well. Anyone who joins through the phone calls, it also helps them knowing the speaker at the moment. Anybody who would like to make some public comments, please let me know. You can raise hands when we go to the public comments section. You can send me a chat message if it's possible. I can put your name on the list. And as we receive the names, that is the order we take the public comments. We do have presenters with us. And just a gentle reminder for your visual presentation, please describe it in detail. That would be for the convenience of our members and customers who are blind or have low vision. Chair Posner, at this point, I would go ahead and read the meeting agenda out loud. And afterwards, I would take the attendance of the AAC members.
Thank you.
Sure. So after we after I read the agenda, I would go ahead and take the roll call of the AAC members. Afterwards, we have at 5:35, we have approval of agenda, prior meeting minutes, and the board report. At 5:40, we have a short committee discussion for email public comments. At 5:45, we will have a presentation from WayMap, but that is the wayfinding application. At 6:30, Mr. Blake will discuss AAC membership and recruitment. At 6:45, we have the public comments section. 7 p.m., we will have the bus and rail subcommittee report. 7:15, we will have the metro access subcommittee report, and the meeting adjourns at 7:30. That concludes the meeting agenda for today. At this point, I would take the call of the AAC members. Please let me know, confirm your presence by saying here, or present, however it works for you. Darnese Bush.
Here.
Thank you. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy. Rico is on the call with
present.
Us.
Present, yes, present.
Thank you. Deborah Fisher. Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Melanie Henderson.
Present.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Philippa is here. I couldn't get my unmute button fast enough.
Okay. Thank you, Philippa.
Thank you, sorry.
Sure, no problem. Paul Semelford. Patrick Sheehan. And Kelly Simona. All right, that concludes our roll call for today's meeting. Chair Posner, at this time, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Yes, thank you. And of course, it's time to approve the agenda, which Anu just read. And we do have one request from the chair and from one of the public members. Mr. Torres has a plan for Metro Access fares that he had requested 10 minutes to present as opposed to the usual 3 minutes that we do. And since he was kind enough to show up at the hearings and his wife and did a lovely job of presenting to the board, I thought if we didn't have any other public comments this evening, that we could give him his 10 minutes. And then discussion of what he presents would then be forwarded to the Metro Access Subcommittee with the approval of Mr. Semelfort and Ms. Rush. So that's the one exception that I would make to the current agenda. And without objections, we'll move forward. Are there any objections to the amended agenda or the original agenda? Please raise your hands. With no objections, I think we have our agenda ready to roll. We then move on to the prior meeting minutes. And hopefully everyone has had an opportunity to read the minutes. And if there are any additions, subtractions, changes you would like, please raise your hand. And without any comments, we will accept the minutes. I don't see any hands, so the minutes are accepted.
I accept the minutes, Vanessa.
Yes, Vanessa, please.
Chair Posner, this is Anu. I believe Vanessa was saying she accepts the minutes.
Oh, good. Thank you, Vanessa. So we will now move on to the chair report. And once again, this is the draft for the presentation. And as things evolve over the month in bus rail and Metro Access and Finance Committee meeting, there may be some additions to it, which I will share with everybody before I actually give the report to the board. So having read the draft that is up there, if there are any additions or rewordings or strengthenings or whatever, please raise your hand. And without objections, we'll keep that as our draft to be updated as we roll. And I think at this point, what I would like to do is, in lieu of the email public comments, because they are going to address Mr. Torres, let's move that to public comments at 6:45, and we'll let Mr. Torres do his own presentation. And since Mr. Pei is already here, why don't we move on and start our WayMap wayfinding application introduction. I'd also like to take a moment to welcome Darnese Bush back. We have missed her. Thank you, Darnese. So
thank you, Rob.
The floor is yours. Take it.
Chair Posner, I would just say one quick moment. We have Tom Pei from WayMap and we have Jankar from WayMap, the two gentlemen they'll present. And Tom and Jankar, you tell me when you would like me to share the presentation and I'll put it up. Tom, you're on mute. You're still on mute, Tom. There you go.
Okay, you got me? Am I okay now? Yes, sorry.
Perfect, go ahead.
Thank you very much. hello, everybody. My name is Tom Pei. I'm the chief executive and founder of WayMap Limited. I am a white male with brown hair, blue eyes. I'm wearing a navy I believe it's a navy suit with a blue striped shirt, open neck shirt. I would like to say that to say a very big thank you to you, Chairman, and to your committee, to WMATA and to WMATA for inviting myself and my colleague Jankar Sevak today. What we would like to talk to you about is the pilot that is going to take place at two stations in Washington. And that is Silver Spring and Braddock Road. This is following on from the successful trial that we carried out at Crystal City. And can I say a very big thank you to the members of the committee and indeed to the employees of WMATA and others from other interested parties from around DC who took part in the trial, which was very, very successful. The reason for the trial was to was really a proof of concept, was to so that we could be satisfied as a group that A, WMAP work as a navigation tool, and B, that it was suitable for use in Washington and indeed on the WMATA network. So I would now hand over to my colleague, Jankar Sevak, who will take us through the some of the top line results from Crystal City, and then indeed talk us through the plans for the future. After that, very, very happy to take any questions that you might have. So over to you, Jankar.
Thank you, Tom. Hi, Anu. Can we please share the presentation?
Sure.
While you do that, I'll just give a quick introduction about myself. My name is Jankar Sevak. I'm the Director of Engineering at WMAP. I'm dialing in from London today. Originally, I'm from India, but I've been living in the UK for the past 15 years or so. And it's my pleasure to present the WMAP pilot project plan to you all. So if we can start with the first slide. If you can go to the next page, Anu. Yeah, I think looks like this is the PDF version that we are using, okay. So the first slide is about a kind of a high level findings and summary of the Crystal City trials we did back in 2020. So as Tom mentioned, it was quite a successful demonstration. We had about 26 participants with varying abilities. We had blind users, we had able users as well. And after the trials, we had a short survey. So not everyone were able to participate in the survey, but we did get some useful feedback from 10 participants. So I'm just going to present some of the key findings from that survey. So 90% of the participants found the application useful. 70% participants were excited by the prospect of this application being available for the entire network in the upcoming future. All participants were satisfied with the accuracy of the system. 90% participants were satisfied with the clarity of audio instructions. 80% participants thought that the application would improve experience of users with disabilities. And 50% participant thought that the application would improve experience of users without disability as well. So these were the key findings. We have built and developed products since then. We have built features. We have extended the platform to support on Android application as well. And I think the whole purpose now is with this upcoming pilot trial is to give you the flavor of a full-fledged Waymap system and its offering. Anup, can we please move to the next slide? Yes, so the next slide describes the purpose of the pilot and also the scope of it. So the purpose of this pilot is to demonstrate VMS technology and navigation system for blind users at selected Washington DC metro stations and bus stops. And as Tom mentioned, we have selected two stations here. One is Silver Spring and another one is South in Virginia, Braddock Road. There are about 20 to 25 bus stops nearby these two stations. So we are going to include these bus stations as well. And the broader goal is to provide insight into the applicability and effectiveness of the system for navigating blind and able users in the fully scaled networks and you know, transfer hubs and even beyond. Waymap application can function at public buildings, at universities, at commercial places, et cetera, et cetera. So the whole idea is to start from WMATA networks and slowly expand to cover more places. So all the users of Washington DC and greater area have access to navigation anywhere within you know, the region. So as I mentioned, the pilot will be done at two metro stations. We will use the station data. The application relies heavily on the map data. It needs very accurate map information. It needs some of the details and attributes which are very relevant and specific to blind users and users with disabilities. So the process of setting up a venue requires gathering and generation of these accurate map data that we are doing in various forms. We have received CAD images from WMATA very kindly. And we have also done some scans using the latest state-of-the-art instruments, which uses LiDAR scans as well as the images, which is similar to cameras which you can find on your phones. And the LiDAR is the technology which is being used in autonomous vehicles. The demonstration will encompass walking various routes between bus stops and nearby train platforms. We will have various routes from nearby bus stops going to different platforms and vice versa. We will also have users going from platforms to the nearby bus stops. And the whole idea is to showcase show that the users can effectively navigate in these regions at these platforms and various transport facilities. We have a plan to include about 20 users for this pilot who will be accompanied by Waymap staff. And we are hoping that the pilot will approximately run for 2 weeks. We are likely to get some more users, especially from WMATA staff and perhaps from these committee members as well, if they are interested, which we will accommodate. But this is so far the scope of the pilot that we are planning to do in late April. Moving to the next slide, we had defined some of the success factors. And success factors or the overall success of the pilot will depend on these. First of all, users should be able to interact with the Waymap mobile applications without much hassle. It should be intuitive, and it should be very easy to move from one feature to another feature and being able to do whatever user wishes to do. They should be able to plan their desired routes, and they should also be able to familiarize with their routes as well, with prior instructions and a kind of a glimpse of the route on a map with an audio description. Also, users should be able to follow the application's guidance and instructions, effectively navigating to their desired locations without any fear or stress. I think that this is first and foremost very important factor in the success of this pilot. And as I mentioned, Waymap staff will be there assisting the users and helping them whenever the help is needed. But fundamentally, we expect users to be self-sufficient in using this application and being able to go from one spot to another spot. And also the accuracy of various maps and their precision. So these are some of the key factors which will define the success of the project. Moving on to the next slide. Which basically provides a very high level overview of the plan. And this is just a very first pilot that we are planning to do. We have also planned another pilot, a much more comprehensive pilot later this year around September, October timeframe, which is probably a few months away. And you would like to know what we are doing during that time. So this high level plan basically provides that details. So once the first pilot is completed in April, we will be engaging with various stakeholders and community members regularly as they are key for product improvements and very early stage feedback, which will help improve the application overall and the services that comes with it. We will also be working very closely and continuously on the map data generation, product development, and quality control, which will lead to a complete system integration in around July timeframe. We then will start some internal tests with extending the current scope of the trial to buses, and it will also include the journeys. So for example, users will be able to travel from one platform to another platform using a train, getting a real-time feed from WMATA system in terms of the arrival times of the trains, the platform numbers, et cetera, and in the next stage, that will be extended to bus services as well. Users then will be able to combine bus services and metro services to move about and get to the desired locations. The ultimate aim would be to provide this navigation from door to door. So users should be able to start from their home and being able to get to the doorsteps of their desired location, whether that's another home or office or any other building or facility. So this internal test, we aim to finish in July. And after that, we will begin comprehensive pilot planning and testing, which is scheduled for August. And then it will be followed by a comprehensive pilot where we are planning to support and extend the system to up to 25 train stations. And we will also have close to 1,000 bus stops and significant outdoor data to support door-to-door use cases. So this is, again, a very level, very high level plan for the next 6 months beyond April and just before September. To give you some idea about these 25 stations and what we envisage to do at these stations, we are also scaling the systems and the scaling the operations as well when we are going to support 25 stations, but we are also developing and testing some technical capabilities. So the first phase where we are doing trials in Northwest yellow and green metro lines with a transfer station of Fort Totten and around that area. The whole idea is to be able to include the transfer of lines and use the live feed from Vamata, where some of the metro trains could be sharing the platforms and so on and so forth. So that is the first and foremost purpose of this selection. So there are about 10 stations in that region. Once we have tested and set up these 10 stations and nearby bus stops and outdoor areas, we then move to south, where we have stations around Braddock Road and Regan Airport going all the way to the south on Yellow Line. So we have a set of about 6 stations where we can again show the functionality of the full-fledged systems with door-to-door navigation. And then lastly, we will move to the west where we will have an orange and silver lines with the transfer stations between them. And there are about 10 stations there as well where we will set up this comprehensive pilot on. So, yeah, I mean, this is, as I said, a very high level plan in terms of what we are planning to do in Washington, D.C. in the upcoming months. I think the next slide is just a table form of the stations that I have just mentioned. If anyone is interested in specific stations, then I'm happy to go over the stations and basically read the names. So please let me know if anyone wants me to do that. Otherwise, we can move to the last slide, which is about the questions.
Right. So thank you, Shankar. It's Tom Pei again. So just to summarize, we have completed the trial, proof of concept trial at Crystal City, and that worked very well. And again, thank you to everybody who has participated in that. As a result of that, Wamata and ourselves feel confident enough to move on to Silver Springs and to Braddock Road. And there we will do comprehensive trials, including the bus stops in those areas. And as Shankar said, we have received maps and we have done some highly technical mapping ourselves to ensure that we get the best results in those areas. And that will include testing out, getting to platforms and from platforms to bus stops and so on. Once that has been successful and we've taken on board your feedback, we will then move on to stations, including Silver Springs, down to Fort Totten, and then across, and I can't think, going out on the Yellow Line. And we're also looking at extending Braddock Road. And I know that we've been asked to particularly pay attention to Vienna. So that will definitely be on our list if it's not on our list at the moment. And then by September, we hope to have finished approximately 28 stations. And again, we will work very closely with you and stakeholders to ensure that we pick the ones that are of most interest to blind and people with low vision, so that we can then conclude the trial. If all of that goes well, then you know there will be a discussion about what happens next. Waymap wants to fully integrate the bus and rail transportation systems. It can operate to 1 meter accuracy and 10 degree heading accuracy, both indoors and outdoors. We think it's an exciting development. We have spoken to other potential users of the Waymap system in DC. There's a university and a major hospital group that are interested in taking it should the pilot at WMATA work out as we anticipated will. So thank you so much for giving us the time to talk to you today, and we'll now take any questions you might have.
Thank you. This is Phil Posner. I see that Deborah Fisher and Tino Calabia have their hands up. I have two quick questions and one suggestion. One is, in addition to working with our group, which you've done very effectively, I think it important that you work with Christopher Colbert's travel training group.
Yes.
Because they're the ones that are going to be training WMATA passengers how to use the system. The second question, and you hit the nail on the head by the other groups that are looking at you, everything has a cost. And you don't need to tell us that. But certainly, Chris Blake will want to know what it's going to cost WMATA, and also whether there will be a collaboration amongst the university groups, the business groups, and other private groups to work with WMATA to share the cost of set up and running it. And the other thing, of course, is the agility, which you said, that you have to have complete contact with bus and rail so that you know on a day-to-day basis what they're doing to the bus routes and the train stations, such as this summer when they're shutting down most of the orange, blue lines. The silver line hasn't opened yet, and there are 42 bus routes that are in the process of changing. So those are my pearls. So why don't we go to Tino, who had his hand up first, then we'll go to Deborah Fisher, then we go to Patrick Sheehan. And go ahead, take it, Tino.
Thanks, Phil. And thank you.
Lou has got you on the clock. She'll tell you when you've used up your 3 minutes.
I want to thank Tom and Zankar, and actually also Celso, with whom I took the tour.
Oh, yeah.
at Crystal City. I was very impressed, among other things, when I walked alongside the bus bays. It told me that there were pillars alongside the bus bays. But one thing is, at one point above ground, we were walking back to the station, and we encountered e-scooters on the ground.
Yes.
And it did not pick up that. Is it now able to pick up obstructions on the ground that we might not see otherwise?
Unfortunately not at this moment in time. That is a facility that we can build in later on. In fact, there are a number of developers who are developing obstruction identification. So we have still got to make our mind up whether we can, we would work and take on their code, or whether we would write our own. At this moment in time, and in respect of these pilots, that is outside of our scope. But it's a very good point. Obstruction identification we do accept as being a problem. The other thing that we need to do in terms of obstruction identification is to think about how the individual wishes to use their phone. So we have encountered some resistance to people holding their phone out in front of them and so on. So there's some technical issues that, you know, from a user's perspective, that we would just need to think through before we can do it. However, I just want to reassure you that it is now technically possible to do it. And it is on our list of things to do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Deborah, you're up next, and then after you, Patrick, and then after Patrick, Doris. So Deborah, please unmute yourself and go.
Thank you. I just have a question that while you are rolling this out for low vision and blind passengers, I would ask that you also include people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, cognitive disabilities, because they don't read maps and they have trouble following signs. And I think many of the needs are similar. And getting them in with feedback to you in the at the ground will actually expand the user-friendliness of this app. So I'm just pushing for that as well.
Yeah. Just again, to reassure you that we worked with the Consumer Technology Association, the CTA, and we've written the US standard for indoor and outdoor navigation for persons with IDD. And that's CTA 2076.1 if for nerds that might be around like me. it is not something that is on our first pilot, but we will be trialing it during this during the September pilot phase. Again, it's simply because we're very familiar with the needs of blind and people with low vision, and we need to build the support around us to make sure that when we go into trialing with people who have IDD, then we are able to do that successfully. We will also be working with people in wheelchairs. So we have developed a pod that we can put onto the wheel of our wheelchair, and that will help people to navigate using step-free access where that's possible. And again, it's about tying together with all of the information that WMATA have within the network to be able to make things work for everyone. But yeah, so it's a long answer to say yes, it's on our plans to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Patrick, you're up for 3 minutes, and then Doris is next.
Very good. Thank you, Phil. Tom, this is great. I've been looking forward to being involved with this project for a while. Actually, I think I got the heads up from Tony Stevens with ACB and Clark Rodwell with ACB.
Yeah, give him my regards.
I certainly will, yes. I think this is great with, I think you're working with 5G right now.
Yes.
And also when I was in Crystal City, you also had a partnership with Good Maps. I don't know if they're still in the mix with you right now.
Right. Yes. Good Maps did the mapping for us in in Crystal City.
Okay.
We are working closely with Good Maps on a number of projects. Mm-hmm. They have not done the mapping for us at Silver Spring and Braddock Road, but that was just simply because of timing issues. But we remain closely aligned, both in intent and in our sharing a common vision. So you can safely assume that Good Maps are very close partners of ours.
Great, thank you. And the one thing I was going to add is that I am in Silver Spring, and there's a lot of blind people between the American Council of the Blind and National Federation of the Blind. And there's a group in Maryland, DC, and Virginia who are interested in getting engaged with this project. So it's something, Carol, I don't know how much of a project plan you can share with me, but I'd like to be able to brief those three groups and tell them what's coming in the timelines.
I think that would be really good. And what we do is we give as much detail as we can to Carol. and she can share it with you.
Right. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever okay. you can.
I would be back in DC and in a few weeks' time, and Shankar is coming over in early April, and it would be really good to get all of the stakeholders together so that we can, you know, the more the merrier, and the more voices and input we get, the better. Because there's the one thing that we definitely know for definite, and that is we don't know everything. So we want to learn. Yeah.
Love to meet you. That'd be great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Patrick, this is Carol.
Yes, Carol.
I would be glad to send you the information that you can share with everyone.
Great.
In reference to the upcoming pilot.
Beautiful. That's great, Carol. And I can coordinate back through you with any feedback I get.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Carol. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you. Doris, you're on the clock for 3 minutes.
Yes, hi, thank you. I was curious, one, if you had thought about using King Street rather than Braddock Road, because King Street is a station that carries more people. More people are coming through King Street, and it's kind of a challenging environment, and I think that it might make a great pilot. And I wasn't here because of work a little bit earlier, so I'm curious about choosing Crystal City as well, and whether you're going to do both 18th Street, just 18th Street, or whether you're going to do the 15th Street exit and the underground. And the last thing is that I would suggest that you contact ACB and NFB chapters and NCCLV, all of which are located in Northern Virginia, and the Arlington County Disability Advisory Commission and the Alexandria Commission on Persons with Disabilities, because I know people who are members of the commission and or their constituents who would be very, very interested in being involved.
Thank you so much. In relation to King Street, that Shankar, I believe that's on the second phase. Is that correct?
King Street has, you know, a lot of different modals that are there, and also there's a lot more in terms of, you know, businesses and the environment and the number of exits in the station and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think it would be a good workout for a
pilot. Absolutely. To answer the question on Silver Springs, we would be doing all exits and entrances and all bus stops and all platforms. So pretty much the entire area. We're aware that there are a number of organizations for blind people that that work through Silver Springs, and indeed we have we've also have a kind of a working partnership, I hope that's the correct term, with the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind, who, just to come back to a previous point, do some travel training for WMATA. Yes, in relation to travel training, we are working up a proposal for how the travel training might be provided by O&M specialists. And that is something that, again, we would be looking for input from people. But yeah, I mean, we will get to every station that we can get to, and we will definitely make sure that's on the list. But it won't be the first two stations, unfortunately, because the die is cast on those. But it would probably be on the second round.
Thank you.
There's a lot of.
Doris, your 3 minutes are up. We need to move on. We've got a busy agenda.
No, I just.
Marcy, you're next up, and then Vanessa Coles and Thomas Mangrum. So, Marcy, 3 minutes, you're on the clock.
Okay, I have one quick question. What about using a smartphone? What are the implications that somebody could track you security-wise? You know, you get tracked on a cell phone, and it may be concerning to people's safety.
Yes, that's a really, really important point, and privacy is extremely important to Waymap, but it's also has been stressed as being extremely important to WMATA. But WMATA and us are aligned in terms of that. There will be a facility in the second round where people will be able to disclose their location to an emergency service or to a primary carer, if that's whom they choose, in order to get additional support in the event that may be required. But we would not be although we would know where you are, we would not know who you are unless you disclose your identity. So your privacy would be protected unless you need to disclose your identity for the purposes of ensuring that the trip, your trip experience is enhanced.
Thank you.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles, you're on the clock for 3 minutes.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Vanessa.
Hi.
I participated in the pilot when it came. You know, one thing, I had asked before, summertime is coming, and you know, as a lady, I wear dresses, so I don't always have something to cling on to. So how powerful is the signal? Should I put it in my purse, my iPhone in my purse? And if I should have iPhone watch, do we have to point it at things, for instance, like the back walls to see what subway station we're going to be in, or is it going to let us know that? Then part of that is, are you combined with the walk, which is a cane mapping system? Because there also has something similar like this for navigating.
Yeah.
And also my last issue is inclement weather. Does the snow make a difference, or is it just a matter of how well your phone is, how well your system will work? That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Yeah, the system works on, as you're quite right, on the telephone. At this moment in time, the system that we will be testing at the first two stations is what we call the worn phone solution. So you just wear it on a belt or in a tight pocket. After that, we would have we would be introducing a system that we call the carried phone solution. And the carried phone solution is that you simply carry the phone around with you, or put it in your bag, or put it on your head if you wish. The second part of your question was, do you need to point it at anything to know where you are? The answer is no. Our system works off pretty much detecting your steps, by knowing using quite complicated algorithms, we know that every time you take a step, and we know which direction you're taking the step in. You don't need to point it at anything. Later on, we will be putting in a system whereby if you if you kind of get lost or you want to do something else, we will be allow you to be able to put your foot, use your phone camera again to just simply to locate something like a pillar or the corner of a poster, or you know, something that's in the environment that we've already mapped, and that's just a reassurance to you and to the system that you are going in the right direction. We will not be trialing that at the in the first two areas, but no, it is not weather dependent, because it doesn't depend on any outside signals. So we don't need phone signals or GPS signals or anything else, or Bluetooth signals, anything. So it's not damaged by weather. That doesn't mean we don't use those signals if they're available, but the accuracy and the functionality of the system is not dependent on those. So it's pretty much weatherproof. And with the features that we're adding in, would be usable using the phone in any way. And then we are moving on to wearables. So in other words, smart watches and so on. Jankar, you're the technical brains here. Would you like to explain how we're going to deal with wearables?
Can we come back to that? We're running over. So let's have Thomas Mangrum come up next for 3 minutes, and then we'll get back to you, Jankar, so you can sort of sum it up for everybody. Sure. Thank you. So, Thomas, you're
okay, this is Thomas. My question is this. When it comes to using a new system that you have set up for the blind and hard of hearing, seeing and whatnot, is y'all going to be doing any travel training for the people so they know how to use the system? And also, by me being set as chair over a committee for people with disabilities, we got some people that's blind that lives in group homes, and some people that's blind that lives on their own. They live with their family. So they might not necessarily be a member of our agency for the blind. So how would that work when you got a learning disability and you're blind and you're trying to use the system? Would you have it set up so if they get lost, somebody will automatically know that they are, so they can come to them? Because blind people want independence just as much as everybody else. Yep. So when it comes to people with disabilities, like one person brought up about people with disabilities using a system, and you say you basically says focusing on the blind and hard of seeing or what have you, but you do have blind people that have learning disabilities too. So how would you help them?
Okay. So thank you very much. The system will eventually be usable by people with all disabilities. I say that a little tongue in cheek because it's very difficult to know on an individual basis. But we would try to solve most of the problems and challenges faced by disabled people as they move around. We've started with blind people for two reasons. One is that I'm legally blind myself, so I've got a selfish reason in solving this problem. But more importantly, that it's an extreme, what we call an extreme use case. And if we can make it work for blind people, then we can solve problems for other disabilities. In relation to travel training, we are currently talking to Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind, who do provide travel training with a view to writing a module that could be inserted into the travel training plans that are already provided by WMATA. And finally, in relation to contacting disabled users, we will be using all forms of public relations and relying on word of mouth and indeed working closely with WMATA to ensure that we leave no stone unturned in contacting people who can benefit from this system.
Thank you. Let me let Alan Wilcox, who's been very patient, he's with WMATA, have the last 3 minutes and then I'll ask Ankar if you could sort of summarize all the questions that have been unanswered so far. So Alan, you're on the clock for 3 minutes.
Okay, I'll try to be quick. Yeah, I work in our capital projects group, so I work periodically with Carol on several topics, including this one. So I'll ask all three questions, and then if you need me to repeat any, I'll let you. So first one is, you said 10 people responded to the initial effort at Crystal City, 90% said it was useful. The one person that didn't say it was useful, did you get any feedback from them about what they didn't like?
That individual, I believe, just didn't like the system of relying on a mobile phone to give instructions.
Okay. All right. So
I just don't like it. which is fine. Yeah.
Understandable. Question number two is, you mentioned that obviously we, and I'm talking to Carol, we give you what information we have for stations and bus bays and things like that in terms of maps. Do you then, and I can't imagine that what we've got is really to the standard necessary for this app, do you then go with LiDAR and fill in the gaps in terms of accuracy or, you know, missing objects and things like that to make it to the standard that is required to be useful?
Yes, so generally speaking, your CAD drawings are within 2 centimeters accuracy, and they're pretty accurate on geolocation, as one would expect. We did LiDAR at Silver Spring in order to, just to be sure, you know, and given that it was built by two different agencies, we just wanted to be sure that the maps lined up and that the geolocations were accurate. We wouldn't expect that LiDAR would be required in every station. The third thing is that I've forgotten what the third question was.
Oh, I hadn't asked. I'm sorry. I said I was going to ask all three and then I didn't. The last one is, you mentioned for the September pilot, you're going to have 25 stations, 1,000 bus stops. Eventually, is the goal to roll this out to all, I don't know, Carol, what do we have? 91 stations, 92 stations, and then however many bus stops we have. The whole system.
We would love to do that. That's a discussion that would be ongoing with WMATA. I'm sure that it would be dependent upon the success of the pilots and the demand for the product. I think you've got 10,000 bus stops and 107 stations or something like that. We would like to be able to integrate all that for all disabled users and indeed for visitors in DC. There are a number of other agencies, government and agencies that are interested in this for wider use within the DC community and the DC infrastructure area, particularly in terms of tourism, because one of the great uses of this, of course, is that it works outdoors and indoors to a great high degree of accuracy, and therefore is very useful for visitors who perhaps are not able to read English or maybe older people who just want to have a stress-free experience on public transport.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry, this is Carol Lopez. Could you talk a little bit about the multiple languages?
Yes. Yeah, so in the first trial, we will be doing English and Spanish, but we will be rolling it out in the second trial with all of the UN languages. And indeed, if we're asked to do it in a particular language, then we can do that, because that's just simply databasing language, which is not difficult for me to say, but could be complicated for Jankar to do. But I'm committing Jankar to doing it in multi languages, but certainly at a minimum, what we call the UN recognized languages, which is English, Spanish, French, German, Chinese, Japanese, And if I've missed any language, I do apologize.
Thank you. I might suggest you just integrate that with the Google Translator and they could do it for you. Sankar, I promised you a chance to wrap up. Thank you. For 3 minutes to wrap it up. Thank you so much.
I'll be real quick. I think there's an unanswered question on wearables. We do have plans for wearables. Unfortunately, watches are not suitable for our system because it is not very useful in step detection. But we do see the trends and all the trends are moving towards the glasses, the virtual reality and that kind of technologies. So. And that seems to fit quite well with our existing system, and it could be a natural, evolution. So, the smart glasses are in our plans. And the additional advantage of smart glasses is that the cameras are usually unobtrusive. It doesn't draw attention, and we are hoping the way the social trends are moving. Wearing glasses, especially for navigating with disabilities, I think it would be a socially acceptable norm. So that's something we will be investing in and developing our system on.
Thank you. You guys are great. You covered an awful lot of ground this evening, and we're really looking forward to having this work. And model that will keep working.
Chairman, if I could make a plea, we are looking for volunteers. We have set our target at 20, but Carol is anxious that we get up to 100 if we can. So could you, each of you, please put the word around. If you want to volunteer, please contact WMATA through the usual routes. And we will also hopefully be publishing contact details directly with WMAP. But we will be engaging with many, many stakeholders. We need your feedback. We need your enthusiasm to make this work.
Thank you so much. I'm sure Carol can recruit everybody in the disability community if Denise and Patrick don't do it first. Thank you all so much.
This is Carol. Please send, if you have any information you need, you can send a request to access@wmata.com, access@wmata.com. Thank you.
Okay, we're at the point for Mr. Blake. You're on the clock. Take it. We're on schedule.
Okay, great. Good evening, everyone. This has been a good meeting so far. A lot of great information. I don't want to belabor this meeting and get with administrative stuff, so I'll be real quick tonight and then we'll follow up more. I began the discussion at the last Metraxas subcommittee meeting, that we're going to be a little more assertive in the recruitment process. We began this effort. Anew was making calls to current members because we do have a practice with the AAC that if current members wish to be reappointed, we always begin with them first. And there were some members that we hadn't seen in a while, and one mentioned the challenges she had been facing. So we're glad she's well and back at it, and we miss her advocacy. So what we're doing though is, didn't want to share it here at this meeting, but we're going to be sending out to all members probably first thing in the morning, the current attendance chart. And people will be able to see for themselves, and we'll send out a blurb of the bylaws requirements for meeting attendance. And we're going to ask the incumbents who are up for reappointment this year, if they wish to be reappointed. If the answer is yes, we'll proceed. But we're going to have a reminder of everyone that the attendance policy will be more vigorously adhered to or enforced, that's probably a better word, moving forward. In terms of recruiting new members, we're going to begin by asking individuals who are interested to attend at least one AEC meeting, as well as one at least one subcommittee meeting prior to their being appointed. So we're going to be just asking members to, I mean, interested parties to attend so they can, even with just that little bit of requirement, if you will, demonstrate the level of commitment it takes to be a part of this important group and share their opinions and advice with Metro staff. So I don't want to spend too much time on the administrative stuff. I think we talked about it a lot in the meeting previously. I can answer any questions, but I think we're going to try to handle this through email communication and beginning with the sharing of the current attendance, and then beginning on our end, informing interested parties of their need to attend at least one full meeting and one subcommittee meeting as part of their efforts to demonstrate interest in being potentially appointed or possibly appointed to this committee. And I see some questions, so I'll take the questions. I guess we can start with Patrick, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please, yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you. So two questions. One, I'm going to go to rumor control for a second, but I'll ask my question on topic first, Mr. Blake. So in the bylaws, you have term limits. Are they going to be enforced?
Well, that was my statement earlier. This has always been a practice that if an incumbent wanted to be reappointed, we generally, that's been the practice even prior to my...
Right, but term limits, I understand, but we have term limits on.
Okay, so what I would ask then is that the AAC at this meeting or an upcoming meeting, you guys can talk about it maybe, but if the enforcement is the desire, staff will certainly do it, but we would ask that you take a committee vote and express that officially to staff.
Hang on. Well, let me argue one thing.
Yes,
if it's sir. In the bylaws and it's the what we agreed to.
Yes, sir.
Why should we be discussing it?
That's a fair point. I guess the only thing the only reason I raise that as a request, and it doesn't have to be, but mm-hmm. is because of the past practice of this committee and the appointment process. But if it's the will that we enforce the term limit aspect of the bylaws, staff can certainly do that. And that's not a problem.
The ability to amend the bylaws with the approval of the board. So, you know, I think what Mr. Blake is saying is something that's quite doable, Patrick.
And
I'm sure you're delighted to chair a rewrite of the.
No, absolutely not. No, okay. I'm just thinking that if we're going to
attend, I chaired this the last time.
Yes. We are going to enforce the attendance policy, then we need to be enforcing all the policies. But
that's a fair point.
Yeah, second one. Second is rumor control, sir. So yes, I understand sir. Metro Access wise, since you're on the seat right now, that we're going back to not shared rides on Metro Access. Is that true?
That's on the agenda
later this month.
Let me hear what you say. We're going back to not shared rides.
So you're not sharing rides on Metro Access. One vehicle, one person.
No, sir. No, just for clarification, there is no policy right now that we will not share a ride. In fact, last week about 3% of our trips, I have to look exactly at the number, but about 3% of the trips were shared rides. What we're doing is a strategy of non-shared rides, but when needed and when necessary, either during the scheduling process mm-hmm. or during the day of service, shared rides is actually a part of the Metro Access service.
Okay. See,
it's a pragmatic policy.
Yeah, I don't have Denise's contacts. So you can see that my information is subpar.
No problem.
Thank you.
Denise knows what I'm going to do before I do it.
Of course. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. We have hands from Paul and Denise, and Steve has gotten tired. I see his hand has gone down. And since you will both have time during your Metro Access subcommittee meeting, so I'd like to take this point to go to our public comments. And Anu, do we have any public comments besides Mr. Torres?
Chair Posner, I received only one AAC member who would like to make public comments besides Ansel Torres, and we have received no other requests.
I like.
Steve, are you trying to make some comments?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay, well, I think we can let Mr. Torres, if he is in the room and ready to go, start his 10 minutes.
Mr. Torres, let me just verify Chair Posner. Yes, he is on. Mr. Torres, if you would come off of mute and make your comments. When you start speaking, I will start the timer for 10 minutes. And approximately 30 seconds before the 10 minutes end, I would give you, I would alert you.
And then we'll go to Mr. Caffin when he is finished, and then we'll go to our reports from the subcommittee. So Mr. Torres, please go ahead.
Chair Pastor, okay. I wonder if he has stepped away.
I'm sorry?
No, Steve, go away. You come in after Mr. Torres.
Okay.
Chair Posner, this is Anu. I wonder if Mr. Torres has stepped away, although he is logged in to this meeting. Perhaps he would return at 6:45 because it is 6:42 at this time. I wonder if he just stepped away.
Okay, so I think we can let Steve have his 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, good, good. I'm unfortunately, this laptop I have has a fine video, but I'm using the audio from my desktop and I have to turn it on and off, so okay. You know, the City Council of DC found that there was a significant surplus in the budget and made a determination that they were going to use that by giving the residents each a $100 credit for use on WMATA. And that's great. However, wouldn't that money be wonderfully spent in doing a project that I think some of us have talked about for a while, and that's to try free bus service, you know, on and off, using the middle doors as well as the front doors, and using that money instead of the $100 credit, use it to buy each person every week a $25 bus pass and have free bus service in the city. It would be great for small businesses, many of which have been decimated and really need support right now as we're coming out of the pandemic. And it would also create a mobility that many of us just haven't had in using any kind of public transit during the last couple of years. So I'm raising that more to discuss it, because we've all discussed I think rather enthusiastically, the opportunity to try free bus service. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. I suggest you go talk directly to the DC Commission, the DC Mayor, and their own advisory board for multimodal transport, since it's out of our lane. Thank you. Has Mr. Torres arrived?
Chair Posner, this is Mr. Torres' email saying that he is having trouble unmuting himself. I have responded to him informing that if he is on phone, he can press *6 and that will unmute his speaker. I'm hoping he will be able to unmute himself. Mr. Torres.
Well, question, as the media administrator, do you not have the power, if you will, to unmute everybody?
I cannot unmute him, Mr. Blake. I can mute all the participants, but not unmute.
Thank you.
Sure.
Well, so while he's working on that, Mr. Chairman, do you want me to answer any questions that Denise and...
I had my hand raised, by the way. I had my hand raised and I sent an email about public comment.
Just one quick moment. This is Anu again. Mr. Torres is saying that he is on Zoom. And he should be able to unmute himself. I'm not sure why, because all the participants who have spoken thus far were able to unmute themselves. Mr. Torres, I'm sorry you're having some trouble. I can recommend if you would leave the meeting and then join again. I'm hoping that that will resolve the issue.
Yes, while you're doing that, if Denise would like to ask her question of Mr. Blake, and then we'll, as soon as Mr. Torres comes back, we'll go to him.
Mr. Chair, I put myself in the queue for public comment.
Yes, I know that, Doris. You will get called on. We have others
on.
No.
I didn't know that whether you were aware. Okay.
Yes, I can see your hand.
This is Ms. Rush. Previously, I don't know what the bylaws say now. We need to check it. But one attending one AAC meeting and one subcommittee meeting should be done before you even apply. And it was, I think, at one time, two or three meetings straight, and then you apply and get approved. But one meeting won't do it.
I hear you, Ms. Rush. The only challenge, one, that is not a requirement at the moment that I'm aware of in the bylaws of any prior attendance to a meeting. And two, because of timing, and we've got to move the recruitment process forward, it's hard for me to now just automatically say you have to attend two or three or four meetings when we don't have that much time, and it's not a requirement at the moment.
Anybody remember when you had to attend more than one meeting but me? Patrick? Paul? Phil?
That is the case since I was.
It's something we had talked about doing, but it's never been enforced.
No.
That was in the old days when we actually met in person. It was difficult to get here. Perfect time to enforce it because it's so easy to attend.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well.
Great.
We need to check the bylaws. Thank you.
Just don't rewrite them. Don't.
Okay. I believe Mr. Torres, this is Anu. I believe Mr. Torres has rejoined. Mr. Torres, if you would come off of
mute. Okay, Doris, why don't you go ahead, and I'm starting your clock, and then when Mr. Torres comes on, we'll let him join. Doris, you're on the clock for 2 minutes.
Yes, and my public comment is in the nature of two announcements. One is for the members of the AAC and or their contacts, if you live in Arlington or travel frequently to Arlington, Arlington County is sponsoring a focus group on Vision Zero, and as we've talked about, that also relates to the floating bus stops. So I wanted to make everybody aware of that, and ECNV, Independent Center in Northern Virginia, is putting together a list of potentially interested parties. The second is that I wanted to mention that right now it looks like Arlington County Transit is going through a process of reviewing its STAR service and has done a survey of what they're calling peer systems, and they'll be discussing changes. What we're not sure of at this moment is whether this is also going to be incorporated into the budget hearings later this month. But the Arlington County Disability Advisory Commission is also monitoring this, and so I would be glad to convey any information about this and when a meeting might be happening to look at changes in STAR services or policies.
Norris, thank you. I will ask you to repeat this at the bus rail committee meeting and also at the Metro Access committee meeting. So we talk to the appropriate subcommittees so that they know that their folks should participate. I've already gotten the information from Arlington County, and I've already filled out my survey. So
yeah, the Vision Zero is what I wanted to let you know about. That's coming up very soon.
Yes, thank you. Okay, we're still waiting on Mr. Torres, and it's 7 o'clock, and so let's start our bus rail subcommittee report.
Chair Posner.
And Tino, if you can get started, and when Mr. Torres becomes available, we'll
Chair
start
Posner.
At 1 o'clock.
Chair Posner, this is Anu. Just a quick interruption. Mr. Torres has emailed saying that he's not allowed to unmute. All participants are able to unmute themselves. I have also tried to prompt him to ask him to unmute, hoping that will help. Apparently there's some technical issue. I'm not sure how to help him at this point. So I just
well,
want
to say that. What you did is the only thing that has worked in the past for Tino, and that is to hang up and then call in again and then try to unmute.
Right, but I just want
to let him try to do that while Tino begins the bus rail committee report.
Sure, I just wanted to state that for clarification. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, basically, subcommittee had three main items on the agenda, and they were the award of the 2021 Hettinger Award to Barbara Millville, which was done. Then we heard from a new board member, Sarah Klein. And finally, we had a nice presentation and a program, which was chaired by Debbie Fisher, who kindly had two guests who discussed developmental disabilities and the use of transit. Those were the three main items in the draft, and next week we'll review them again for possible or potential approval of the minutes. Thank you. Hello?
Okay, thank you, Tino, for your report. Chair Posner?
Yes.
Okay.
And if Tino is finished, we will let Paul and Denise go to the Metro Access report, still waiting on Mr. Torres.
All right, so good afternoon, everybody. I'm gonna make this, and Denise can chime in. We had a lot to talk about at our last subcommittee meeting on February 22nd. So the first thing we discussed was the eligibility office location at Longfront Plaza. They're not, we know it's going to be there, but the location for where people are going to be assessed which will be determined at some future date will be shared once things are finalized. And also where, when we go back to in-person meetings, whenever that happens, we'll, I believe it'd be in another part of that area, L'Enfant Plaza. But more to be, information to be given out in the future. We had some questions for the director and he answered them. We also talked about the Metro Access Automated System Adjustments. Ms. Anderson facilitated that discussion along with input from Vanessa Coles and even myself. I've listened in on it and how it has improved to allow everyone access to it at equitable, you know, speed. It's been kind of, you know, slowed down so that people are able to put input in like things like easy pay and accessing different functions of it. The other topic we talked about was the, had Mr. Blake clarify the procurement of sedans, Metro Access sedans and vans, as to when that will occur again. And he re-clarified that. Also, Mr. Blake re-clarified about the Metro Access fares and how that now we will still get it as how, you know, things are rolled out with the board decision, you know, the flat fares on the weekends and for the most part after 9 p.m. As of right now. Also, we discussed about, you know, flat fares, still advocating sustainable fares. The shared ride update was, this is, again, Mr. Blake said, is a strategy that we're doing to mitigate with, you know, COVID cases, and that at least through March, to the end of March, you know, shared rides will be up to like somewhere between, like he said, 2-3% in needed urgent cases. But for the most part, you know, people will be taking, picked up from their destination, dropped off to the location with those exceptions for the 2-3% cases, and that we will be able to maintain this through the month of March, and we will get an update at the next Metro Access meeting with more information about the shared rides going forward. I had some questions about Billy's Ride Flex program, and Mr. Blake answered them as to how late we are to wait until there's a determination. And I advocated that, you know, if we know that a ride is going to be, you know, going on 20 plus minutes late, or even we know it's going to be really late before the window begins, to for the call center staff to be proactive about it. After my experience about a week ago with a similar situation with this, this topic is going to be revisited again. It's still on the agenda for next month, but I have some more probing questions, but that will be done at the Metro Access meeting that we need to discuss further. Then we had a Metro Access navigational positioning system, GPS update. And Ms. Rush asked about the, you know, testing it, and Mr. Blake responded about those issues. Is there anything else that I missed, Ms. Rush?
No, except for Mr. Blake tried to send a car and think I wouldn't know about it. Really?
And we discussed it. And also next month we are putting on the agenda, there's some policy things I want to talk about the call center, again, in light of experiencing something at night that should never happen to another customer. But again, that will be discussed at the next Metro Access meeting as part of an amended agenda that's coming in the next day or two in an email to management and to Denise and Phil. So that is it for my report.
Thank you so much. Doris, your hand is still up.
Oh, nothing.
Are you okay?
Chair Posner, this is, and I believe that was still up from the last time when Doris was speaking, so I have lowered her virtual hand.
Yes, but I'm so excited that we are back on schedule and everything is done, and we'll let Mr. Torres try again another day. And we have just gotten an extra 30 minutes back in our lives. And so one of the things that I would like to do, if Mr. Sheehan is still here, we have had an opportunity in previous years to speak to the board's finance committee during budget times. And this was brought up at the last RAC meeting, and the board responded affirmatively. In previous years, before COVID and others, we had a meeting once a month with the AAC and the RAC and the board executive committee. And so there is the possibility of that being reinstated. And I take that as very good news.
Yeah.
As far as this Thursday, they have set aside 3 minutes for the AAC to present comments from their constituents to the Board Finance Committee as they discuss the final budget for the coming year, and the RAC 3 minutes to discuss reports from their constituents. And I see this as very, very positive. It was reinforced by all of the members that did show up at the hearings. And it's nice that we will get a second opportunity because I have a medical appointment on Thursday. I won't be attending that meeting. I will be listening in. But Patrick and Denise have volunteered to use us 3 minutes to suggest to discuss simplified fares for Metro Access, development of passes for Metro Access, and increasing bus service and accessibility to underserved and disadvantaged rural areas in Prince George's and Fairfax County. And they are going to do a magnificent job representing us. And so we have a little time right now. And if you might want to suggest something for them to mention, remember, they have 3 minutes. So three bullets, 1 minute apiece, that will be able to fit in. And so Mr. Blake has his hand up. And he has been very nice tonight. So Chris, please take it.
Well, it wasn't on this topic, so why don't I save it for the very, very tail end of this meeting so you can continue with the bullet point development here.
Okay, that sounds very good. Thank you so much. And we had a very good overview of the budget process at the last RAC meeting, and I thought I would ask Patrick to give a short overview of that. But before we do that, I see that Doris had her hand back up, and Tino has his hand back up, and Paul has his hand back up. So let's do Doris, Tino, and Paul, 1 minute each. It's good training for the 3 minutes we get to the board. So Doris, you've got a minute. Do it.
This is Anu. Doris, you're on mute. If you do want to make some comments, please remove yourself from, take yourself off of mute.
Okay, Tino, take a minute. Go.
Yes, I just wanted to piggyback on Steve's suggestion regarding the monies that the District of Columbia is going to allocate to citizens. You know, there's a federal bill to make public transit free as a matter of social justice. and I've written about it, and there are tests now being done nearby and by Dash and also by Ride-On. Maybe during the joint presentation we make this Thursday, somebody could begin to seed the idea with the board that free transit is a social justice issue. And eventually, when we come out of the problem that we're in at the moment, we should begin seriously to think about that with our colleagues around the country. Thank you.
Thank you. Minute and 6 seconds. Well done. Paul, 1 minute. You're on the clock.
Make this very brief.
I would love to join that meeting on Thursday if you let me know the time in the Zoom meeting. I'm sure Patrick and Denise will do a fabulous job. If they wanted me to chime in, I'll be happy to do so with the 3 minutes. But at the very least, I would like to join that meeting on Thursday.
Well, two is going to be difficult enough to do, but if you will talk to Denise about what you would like her to do with her minute and a half.
Oh, yeah, but I would at least like
to join to be a witness to this, if I'm allowed.
Well, it will be televised. It will be on YouTube, so you can listen to it.
Okay.
And while you're listening, you can also text Patrick and let him know. You should have said this. I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible. KISS, keep it simple. So point well taken. And if they miss anything, I will get to present or report to the board following the Metro Access meeting. And so feel free, if you would like to participate in that report to the board, happy to let you do that.
Of course, I'm going to have some
amendments to add to your report after this Metro Access meeting. There will be.
Okay, now that sounds great. And, you know, I can think of a lot of things, including our story of the annual visit that we get from the poor people that can't get to church on Sunday because their bus route is not running on Sundays. And to thank Mr. Blake and the board during COVID for actually permitting people to take Metro Access to places where there used to be bus routes and train routes that have been shut down because of the COVID, and encourage them to continue to do that. So there are a lot of things that we can do in the report to the board, because we do get more than 3 minutes in the report to the board. But for this Thursday, it's going to be a Queen and Irishman show. Okay, Doris, your hand is back up. Go ahead. Yes.
I hope that we will emphasize that all of Fairfax County needs adequate bus service and frequency, particularly and route coverage, because most people in Fairfax County are bus dependent, getting A to B. And then the second thing was that I think that it's important for us to mention that I've had some comments from consumers who are very, very disappointed. They live out on the fringes of Fairfax County in Centerville, Chantilly, Herndon, who were waiting for the Silver Line Phase 2, and with all the delays, the reshifting of their bus services is enhancement of their bus services getting delayed, and they are certainly very concerned.
Thank you, Doris. And I will tell you why we chose to use the phrase rural, because there is a special pot of federal money for enhancing rural service, even though we know it's all of PG County and all of Fairfax County. But it is budget and it's docket, and it's a place where there is money. And as far as the Silver Line goes, that's something that we repeatedly bring up to them. But again, it's outside the goal of this particular hearing, because we are limited in our 3 minutes to 3 minutes and items that are on the docket. So that's why we came up with that. but definitely we will continue to advocate every chance we get for the other stuff. And Steve, I see your hand back up. Go ahead.
Hey Phil, Rico has his hand too.
Also, yes, thank you. Rico has his hand up, or he has a question.
Rico, you've been so quiet, please. Rico, you're on the clock.
Okay, hello. As a bus customer, I'm wondering, what's the policy of taking pictures for the bus customers? What is the policy of that? Or using the phone for the...
Using
the phone for assistance on with the Wayfinder.
Oh, okay, that's a different story. Okay, I thought you were talking about taking pictures, using your personal phone to take pictures of other Metro customers. That's not what you're talking about, right?
Oh, actually, yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. Good catch.
Well, let's put it this way. There's nothing that I or anyone can do to stop you from doing it, but I assure you that most people in public will be very uncomfortable if you start taking pictures of them or videos of them without their permission. So I would be really hesitant to do that if I were you, to avoid any issues or confrontations. But may I ask why you would be interested, or why do you believe a customer would be interested in taking pictures of other customers?
Yes, thank you so much. I do that all the time. When there is a lovingly young couple eating fried chicken in a disability seat and disobeying the sign above them, and I always take the picture of the sign saying, "Don't do that," and then I blank out their faces.
Okay.
And it's very effective to use in advertising campaigns, but I do it quietly. I do not rush up to them and flashbulb them, but if you can very quietly and tactfully and tastefully take a picture and black out any identifying marks, Miss Bowersox might be happy to get a copy of that for a future poster.
Well, I think the key word is just be careful. We don't want confrontation.
Exactly.
I hear the point you're making. So if you're being discreet and you're just trying to point out, as you stated in this example, folks who appear not to need the priority seating, but are occupying priority seating, that's fair, but I would just say be careful and not invite confrontation to yourself.
Yes, and you know, if somebody's holding a gun or a knife and assaulting somebody, do it peacefully and quietly. Don't get involved. We're not.
Oh, of course. Right, of course.
Yes. Okay. We're back to Steve again.
All right. There we are. Hi. You mentioned the bus. Let me just raise one point. There are often very important announcements which appear in written form, posted in the bus as you're as a person is boarding. They're actually posted either adjacent to the wheelchair seating area or across from it. I've noticed that while the comments are certainly clear, the fonts are often not bold enough to read when one is either moving past the sign or else across from the sign. And so it's an issue that may not even be thought about by the people who are creating these signs, but particularly in a bus, the signs need to be quite bold. all fonts. I noticed, for example, this is very quick. There's a sign right now that says something, watch out for an old SmartTrip card. And, you know, we've gone through this before. But the actual explanation of it is not on a large and strong font. And it might not be understood by people who think that their particular SmartTrip card may no longer be in use. So I'm just raising that as a—
Thank you. I will ask Ms. Perito Lopez to follow up on that and maybe invite the sign shop once again to come talk to us.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Carol. I will keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mr. Blake, did you want to do a wrap up before we let Doris have the last word?
Yes, a couple of things. First, I want to make a public apology to Denise Rush for believing that we could send a vehicle not only to her home, but anywhere in her neighborhood without her finding out about it. All right, so I did that. And I wanted to mention to Rico that the budget team did receive your question and about the pass that you are not on the record of public hearing testimony, but when you were talking to staff as they were made available at the various hearings. Just wanted to follow up with you and let you know that, yes, they're aware of your interest in a pass for Metro Access customers. And I wanted to reiterate also that Chairman Posner and the members of the AAC have discussed this as a possibility that they would be interested in seeing Metro take a closer look at as well. And that consideration is under review by my office and others as part of a larger overall view of things. And as you know, Mr. Chairman, I've been more focused in terms of the AAC's advocacy of a flat fare, but flat fare passes. Mr. Torres has shared an idea that the AAC is also considering a free fare. There's a lot of faring ideas on the table, but I wanted to just state for the record that for Rico did speak to Metro staff, as everyone was allowed to do if you had attended one of the hearings. And that question from Rico to staff was made, and I wanted you to just to be aware of it and wanted to let Rico know that, you know, passes on Metro Access are being considered as part of an overall review of faring process, I mean, policy.
That's terrific. And now that gasoline is $5 a gallon, the fact, as you pointed out, the efficiency for scheduling and running Metro Access that would be gained by having a pass in a time of $5 a gallon gas would be superb. Again, much more than we can cover in 1 minute at any one time, but we've got you trapped for another 10 minutes. So I thought I would point out $5 a gallon. Okay, everybody's got their hand up. I feel like in a schoolroom and everyone wants to go to the restroom. We haven't heard from Ms. Rush in a while, and Patrick, who are two spokespeople for this Thursday. So Denise, why don't you go, and then Patrick. Denise, take it.
Our past meeting, I asked about the parking at the new location. And I went down there. There's no parking near the building. You're going to walk a while. If you park your car, you're going to walk a while. So I'm not understanding why I was told when I asked the question, there's parking.
Hello? Carol. This is Carol Lopez. We're talking about Lafont Plaza.
Yes.
There is on-street parking, not very, very much. There's... I don't know if when you went, You were able to, there's still construction signs available, but it's only on street parking. There's not very much parking.
No,
not very much.
Things that are located there in the botanical gardens. And yeah, it's,
you're going to walk. If you're in a wheelchair.
The metro station elevator is approximately a block away. Well, maybe a block and a half. And then we also have bus stops within near the corners of that of the new headquarters building.
Okay, Ms. Lopez, I didn't ask how close the station was, and I didn't ask where the bus stop was. I asked about the on-street parking, and it's very little, and you're going to have to wheel a while in the wheelchair or walk a while if you're able. That's the only statement I'm making. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Patrick.
Yes, just to give a quick wrap up on the RAC and what their and their budget meeting. We went through a lot of statistics, numbers. The turnout for the hearing in even the surveys was about half of what it usually is, around 5,000. To echo what Mr. Blake said regarding a lot of the comments dealt with access to fares, simplifying fares, passes, which of course we've advocated for, bus equity and greater rail service. Very much in line with what was proposed. There was support for it because they weren't raising fares. They felt that that was one of the reasons why they didn't get as large a turnout. There was really nothing controversial. So anyway, they'll be making their decisions based on that. But it was an excellent report, actually an excellent summary they gave the RAC. But right along the lines that we were really advocating, they said many of the same things, not on disability issues as much, but right down the same line. And then the other thing to say quickly is I appreciated the way MAPS discussion today. What I really appreciated is that we were getting information upfront prior to really the second phase of this going forward. That is a demonstration of how projects should be coming through with AAC being informed, you know, going forward with projects. So good job on that. That was extremely well done, very professional. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrick. Doris, your hand is up. Take a minute. Doris, you're muted. Go.
Doris didn't have her hand.
I see her hand up on my screen.
Thank you, except to say good night and thank you for everything.
Oh, okay. You're welcome. Paul, your hand is up also. And you need to put a white glove on your hand so I can see it on the black background.
So my question
to Mr. Blake is, in terms of, I want him to define in terms of enforcing AAC attendance and sending out attendants to give a definition of the attendants he's sending out, to what time period is he speaking to? The last year, the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? Inquiring mind wants to know.
Yes, I believe the time frame we're using is from January 2021 up until basically February, Metro Access Subcommittee meeting, and then we'll add tonight's meeting to that list as well. But if I'm not mistaken, did I not ask that we begin this review from January 2021 meetings?
Yes, Mr. Blake, that was from, you're right, from
yes.
January 2021.
Yes, so we're basically just talking about a year.
All right. And also I'm looking at
the bylaw since I was its last chair when this revision happened. So people who had questions, I actually have the current draft, the current document in front of me, but I will take care of answer those questions at another time, because I know Mr. Rush had a question, so I will discuss that offline.
Well, thank you.
Give me a caller and we can talk.
Okay.
Love to have a copy of that too, Paul.
Okay, but I have the one that was sent by me, B, that was approved by the by legal in 2015.
Right.
Got it. Thank you. I have a copy also. We can all review it. Okay, I see no other hands. This has been a very, very rich meeting. And we should let Patrick and Denise have an extra few minutes to work on their presentations for Thursday. And I will be happy to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Paul, you're on mute.
We've had a motion and we've had a second, and without dissent, the meeting is adjourned. See you all next Monday. And also the RAC meeting.